secure new ground, if you will. I tell people all the time, the corporate citizen is a very unique, if you will, entity. As opposed from an individual, the corporate citizen lives in perpetuity. How many of us wish we could do that? How many of us think that we've been around? And that's another seminar. The corporate citizen typically, at least in the U.S., pays taxes at a different rate than the individual citizen. The corporate citizen can't be handcuffed and hauled off to jail, if you will. The corporate citizen, again, in the U.S., doesn't even have to report to jury duty. And so when you have those types of rights, I contend to you that they come with some very serious responsibilities and obligations as well. So strong corporate citizenship. And I would like to suggest that the ways, if you will, the ways to get there are not roads, they're not highways, but rather, for our time today, I would like for you to think of them as pathways. Because you see, pathways form where people, over the course of time, discover the best way to move from and through a particular area into another area. So then it's actually the footsteps of the people, the footsteps of others who've gone before you that actually make or create the path. And so today, we come together to take a moment to look at these pathways. We take a moment to acknowledge that we can't use our GPS or our car navigation systems to get to a place where everyone is empowered and treated with dignity and respect. You see, we can't use Google Maps to find that super speed highway that will take us to the place where social inequities and social injustices are all solved. But we can come together to take a look at how we can follow the steps of those who've come before us, those who have successfully navigated over boulders of potential corporate irresponsibility, if you will, and around thorny patches of unfair practices or disengagement with the common good. We can see where pathways and similar businesses converge. That means we can walk together and go arm in arm, and where it's good, even when the pathways diverge, because we need to get to solutions to these issues from multiple directions. So let's examine some of these pathways, if you will. Let me suggest to you that corporate social responsibility requires some self-awareness. For a corporation to really be on the right pathway, to being a good corporate citizen and evolving your workforce, the company needs to first have some self-awareness. A corporation isn't so different from an individual in that regard. Have you ever met someone who seems to have no idea of the effect that they're having on others, like the guy who is at the party and he's regularly making sarcastic and cutting remarks, and no one really thinks he's funny, but to himself, he thinks he's hilarious. Hopefully I'm not talking about you, but that indicates a lack of self-awareness. But the same is true of a corporation. A self-aware corporation recognizes the effect and the impact it has on others. So if a business is making a product that has little to no benefit to human beings or the earth, and in fact, is compromising the health and safety of our environment, it's going to be extremely difficult for that business to act in any way that can mitigate the overall effect of the dangerous product. In medicine, you all know that doctors begin with what they call the Hippocratic Oath, and that's first, do no harm. And so in the sphere, if you will, of corporate social responsibility, businesses must begin there as well. First, do no harm with the products or services you're creating or you're selling. Be aware of yourself and the effect you have on others. But even beyond doing no harm is creating products and services that change the world for the better. A company that continues to innovate products and services that leave our world and its people somehow better has mastered this first element of social responsibility. And I contend to you that in your world, our world of providing security for people and for assets, this first and most basic facet of being a good corporate citizen is certainly attainable. The purpose of our products and services is to keep people safe, and our products have prevented theft and have protected people from crime and have identified those who need to be held responsible for illegal activity. As businesses concerned with security, usually it's very easy to check the box for belonging to the good guys group in this space that I'm talking about now. But at the same time, I want you to be self-aware enough as companies that are making products and services in security that even if we may be on the side of safety, the entire landscape that this industry sells to is really not without controversy. For some companies here, a portion of security equipment sales annually are to jails and prisons. I'm talking about being self-aware, so stay with me through here. It might get a little rocky, so put your seatbelt on. We must be aware that some of our products are coming to us through a system. Some of our profits are coming to us through a system that some would argue incarcerates people at unconscionable rates, especially for the United States. The U.S., in fact, makes up only 5% of the world's population. But the 2.3 million people in our prisons make up 20% of the number of people incarcerated worldwide. Each year, our U.S. prison system generates about $74 billion according to the Fordham Journal of Corporate and Financial Law. So what does that mean in terms of corporate social responsibility? Again, let's go back to this pathways metaphor that we set up. You see, I can't give you a Google map of how to navigate to an ethically sound decision here, but we can give each other advice on what pathway to take. And so one important path that I would suggest to you is that we could never view additional incarceration as a way to sell more of our products. For example, ethically, we need to take a path far away from lobbying for policies that create more prisoners. Ethically, we need to take a path towards partnering with programs to change the trajectory of lives so that young people see potential for their lives beyond a world on the streets, and therefore they don't end up in prison. We need to search out a path that allows us to engage with our returning citizens who've served time and provide them with opportunity for jobs once they are out. If our company sells to jails or prisons, we need to recognize that we may have a layer of responsibility that involves more intention and more thought. So much of corporate responsibility simply involves slowing down and seeing the effect that we're having on the world around us. You opened up talking about the mega trends of AI and facial recognition technology, all of which come with some serious ethical concerns that we need to be ready to deal with as good corporate citizens. Secondly, as I hasten along here, I want to talk to you about business practices helping to evolve your workforce. Strong business practices which flow into and also improve the communities in which you live, work, and play. Because after products and services, the second tier of corporate social responsibility is a company's business practices. Every business practice that builds equity inside of a corporation ultimately builds the society outside of the corporation. Say what, your 5G connection stalled there? Well, let me say it again so you can get this. Every business practice that builds equity inside of a corporation ultimately builds the society outside of the corporation. So when we look at business practices through the lens of corporate social responsibility, here are some of the questions that come to mind. Are your employees paid fairly with good working conditions? Does the company refrain from discrimination in hiring? Does the company actively recruit and retain a diverse workforce? Does the company make choices in its supply chain that support ethical practices? Is the company ethical in its business relationships? What does the company do to reduce the use of waste and energy and water consumption? In a company's new development of products, what choices does the company make that benefit the environment in the long term or life cycle of that product? What does the company do to reduce its own carbon footprint? So how well a business can answer these and similar type questions will determine much of its ranking in this realm of corporate social responsibility. The second tier of business practices is where we can really begin to differentiate levels of corporate social responsibility. This has to be something that your CEO and your C-suite are talking about. This has to be something your board of directors are talking about. Being a good corporate citizen is not just the right thing to do. It's a winning strategy to grow your business, to grow your talent, attract more business, and to attract the best available talent. As such, being a good corporate citizen has to be a business imperative. And if it's a business imperative, then I have to attach some monitors and some lenses around my efforts so I can see my impact. I have to be able to see what I'm doing in order to make the appropriate adjustments at the right time to measure my progress in these areas. Not because I'm turning this into some sort of compliance play, but rather because I want to continuously improve and embed a culture of social and human responsibility within my business. You've heard it before. What gets measured gets done, and what gets done gets improved, and what gets improved gets replicated, and what gets replicated ultimately transforms the market. This is too important to merely be about a compliance play. Because if you regulate corporate citizenship to compliance, then it's one of 200 things that your company may need to do at any particular time. If it's a program, then maybe it's one of 50 programs being conducted or implemented within your organization during a particular time. But when corporate citizenship and all of the implications that come with it, such as workforce diversity, equity and inclusion, supplier diversity, sustainability, when all are part of your fundamental business strategy, then leadership is accountable for making sure it's done. And if they don't do that, then we know that heads should roll. That's how important this work is to your company, to your people, to your communities in which you live, learn, and play. Good business practices within your company benefit the community where the business is located and even beyond. What you do inside your walls of the company ultimately are absorbed outside into your community as well. So if your company, for example, buys from suppliers that are women or diverse-owned businesses, the money your company spends with these businesses helps support business owners that are more likely on average to hire other women or other people who are Black, Indigenous, or other people of color. Some people find this as an amazing concept, but guess what? It just so happens that minority businesses tend to hire minorities. And this in turn gives these members in our community more purchasing power than they might otherwise have had. So therefore, the entire economy benefits. Paying employees fairly, hiring a diverse workforce, and engaging in good environmental practices not only help make your company a good corporate citizen, but also contributes to your positive reputation. Employees today, I told you, they're just more sophisticated and more concerned about the environment, social, and governance. ESG initiatives of a company are in the forefront of the evolving workforce's mind. They're thinking about these things. And we used to talk about a work-life balance. You know how much we have to work, especially now that we've gone to these virtual environments. You're zooming around the clock. So it's not so much all the time as a work-life balance. It's even now a work-life integration. And you have to give people an opportunity to integrate those things in their lives that keep them going. People want to make more than a paycheck. People want to make a difference in the communities in which they live. I have to hasten along here because they're about to kick me off of this virtual stage. So lastly, let me share with you that philanthropic investment is also better when more eyes and more hands participate in the process. This third tier of good corporate citizenship is the one that's easiest for most people and the communities around us to see, because it's all about how the corporation chooses to engage with and support those who are solving social problems in the community. This is the philanthropic or the community involvement tier, if you will. And companies that are strong in their corporate social responsibility, their philanthropic strategy is well developed and it's focused. It just doesn't move with the ebbs and flows of the C-suite. It's aligned to the business mission, purpose, and values. And it involves a whole lot more than just writing checks. Philanthropic involvement goes far beyond money, because often, get this now, dial up your 5G connection and make sure your connection is stable. Often, a company's most valuable resource goes far beyond how many zeros come before the decimal point in the gift check that it makes. Often the best thing that a company can offer a community is its talent. When a company invites its leadership to serve on the boards of nonprofit organizations or volunteer in the community, everybody wins. The company wins with the expertise that the employees can share, and the employees win because of the leadership development that they receive. They get to participate in some stretch assignments that they may not have otherwise participated within. They get to work with a diverse group of people that they may not have had the opportunity to work with. When a company's employees are out in the community, the company has better visibility into the organizations that are on the ground doing the work. So as we close, I want you to challenge each other to do better and collaborate on best practices. Individuals and investors can challenge businesses to do better, and we certainly can challenge ourselves as well. This whole realm of corporate social responsibility is a fairly young discipline. While charity has always been a part of the human business experience since the earliest days, having departments of people work on corporate social responsibility is really something that's only evolved over the last 10, 15 years or so. So we're still organizing our structures, and we want you to be efficient as you do this as well. And lastly, Marlon, I just wanted to say the beautiful thing about this is that this is something that we can all collaborate on. We don't have to compete in this space. We can collaborate in this space and challenge each other to do better. Marlon?
Yes, I think it was fantastic to listen to you, and I think all of us would like just to continue down and walk that pathway that you are trying to to paint a picture of for us. And I really appreciate the three pillars that you tried to explain for us to build something on. I just want to bring in one question before our time here is finished. Leaning on those three pillars of having products, not doing any harm, and strong business practice, and also some strategic philanthropical investments, how do you get, in your experience, the people in the whole organization to embrace this in their daily operations? How can we engage and get people to really live this? Not all of us have a great philosophy in our organization. We need to have it living through the whole workforce.
Yeah, you know, I would say that the biggest advertisement for this type of work is the needs that we see in our communities. You know, through this pandemic that we've gone through, the disproportionate impact health-wise on communities of color has been thrust to the forefront. The disproportionate impact economically of certain communities, especially people who have not had the opportunity to work virtually, has really impacted urban communities disproportionately. And so when we have an opportunity to raise the needs that are out there, the human experience is such that people will respond. I always say it, when the United Way campaigns come around, we may be going through restructuring, we may be going through layoffs, we may be doing whatever. When we show people the need, they tend to respond. And so our mission or our job then is to figure out how we slow down long enough in executing our business strategy to also engage people with the need around us, and then try to incorporate that into how we are operating as a business. As I said, you know, sometimes these community involvement type initiatives can turn into stretch product projects for people. And now we are growing new leadership within our companies that we that are coming from spaces that we may not have originally identified in the past. So Marlene, it's not an easy lift because, you know, we're all trying to run businesses and we're not social organizations. Again, the responsibility that we have as citizens tell us that we need to respond to the needs that are around us. You know, David Thoreau said that goodness is the only investment that never fails. And so we invest in a lot of things in our businesses. Let's invest in some goodness as well.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Super interesting topic that you have brought up for us all. I think this is really something that we all need to engage in and role model to all our companies. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me.
And we will have to leave it there.